Hey everybody, welcome to this Transformation and Manifestation Masterclass. My name is Pat from the Like Attracts Like podcast and Like Attracts Like Evolution Mentorships. And today I'm really eager to jump into some of the concepts that I share inside of the 21-day Transformation and Manifestation Challenge. I'm really excited to take those concepts and share the highlights of those for you in this masterclass so that you can really get a glimpse of what we do inside of the challenge that is so powerful and impactful to so many people's lives, but also something that you can do today. These are going to be concepts that you can use today to shift aspects of your life that you maybe have been waiting to shift for quite a while. So before we hop over to the board over here and dive into this masterclass, I want to talk to you a little bit about how it is structured so that you can get the most out of it. The masterclass, as well as the 21-day challenge, it is categorized and presented in three phases. And this is important because if we try to understand these concepts out of order, if you will, it could create a greater sense of confusion and resistance inside of your experience, inside of your life, inside of your progress, if you will. So the first phase is presented as the getting clear phase. You're going to find that this is one of the most important parts because if we are not clear on what we want, the rest of the phases and steps will not work. And also you'll notice that you'll walk around in your life just kind of getting thrown about by all of these randomly seeming things happening, quote unquote, to you. And you'll never really fully awaken to the understanding that these things are happening for you. So the first phase is getting clear. Once we get clear or go through this process of learning how to get clear, now we can actually begin to address some of the belief systems energetically and consciously that we hold inside of these intentions that we're setting. What is preventing you from doing the things that you want to do? What is preventing you from even getting clear on finding out what it is that you want to do? What is it in your life that has been created or experienced over and over and over and over again that seems to be telling you something, but you can't quite figure out what that is? In phase two, we dive into the process of uncovering and releasing the limiting beliefs that are preventing you from actually moving forward in your life. And finally, phase three is the embodiment phase. What I have found very powerfully in my life is that anytime that I was asking for something, to be something, to do something, or to have something, it came down to whether or not I was embodying the person who would have the things that I wanted. So what I mean by that is, sometimes we ask for things to be given to us or added onto us in an attempt to override or distract us from who we are allowing ourselves to be, the boundaries that we aren't setting within ourselves or with other people, the actions that we're not taking, but we know that we should. Sometimes we just think that somehow if we manifest something new into our life, then it'll just kind of override all of that which we have been being. And what I found for myself is that we don't get anything other than who we are being in this world. You get a reflection of who you are being presented back to you so that you can see if that's something that you're happy with. And if it's not something that you're happy with, then can you go about removing and releasing responsibility from the external world as to having too much power over whether you can change or not, to be able to dive inside and ask the inner questions that are necessary to uncover and release the belief systems that are preventing you from embodying the person, from transforming into the person who would have what it is that you want. That's why this is a transformation and manifestation process, because you can't necessarily, I personally believe you don't even want to just have things come to you like it's presented and sold to you in so many different aspects of this new age spiritual lingo. If we are asking for things and not diving into certain aspects of why we're asking for them or why we want these things, then we're going to really potentially go down a road of not being grateful for these things when they come. And when you're not grateful for things that come to you, they go away, and they go away quickly and sometimes in dramatic fashion. So that being said, let me take you on over to the board here so we can dive into these three phases a little bit deeper and leave you with a better understanding, not only of what may be happening right now in your life and in your reality, but hopefully making some sense of some of the similar loops and patterns that you've been finding yourself in that have led you up to this point. And I also want to leave you with some real practical awareness of how you can actually make huge shifts in your life today with your internal reality. And then if you can make these shifts long enough in your internal reality, as above, so below, you will then begin to see the reflection of those changes shown to you in your external world, inside of your relationships, inside of your manifesting ability to deliberately create your life, and inside of the reality that you walk through. So join me over here. All right, so here we are at the whiteboard here. And today what we're going to be talking about again are the three different phases that you're going to find in this transformation manifestation process. So before we get into the getting clear, shifting your beliefs and embodying, again, I want to talk a little bit about why this order is important. And then I also want to talk a little bit about some of the limiting belief systems or some of the questions that might be coming in even before we start to analyze a process like this. Simply because so much of the mainstream new age spiritual talk simply has to do with feeling good and aligning to your highest vibration and then watching the universe shift and bring you these things or add on to your experience based on what it is that you're asking for. I don't want to suggest that that isn't something that can happen, but what I want to really be clear about when it comes to this process that I teach in the mentorship programs and the 21-day challenge, which is what this is based off of, my experiences of doing something similar to that type of a teaching, which is just, I don't feel good. I don't feel complete. I don't feel valuable. I don't feel validated. So what I'm going to do is try to do these practices to align and, air quotes, manifest something new into my life to cover up the fact that I don't feel good. So I'm just going to keep adding these things on because I don't feel good. And so you're tricking yourself into feeling good so that you get something that matches what feel good would bring to you, only to realize that it's not this thing that makes you feel good. You simply have to understand why we aren't allowing ourselves to feel good as a baseline. Why is it that we keep looking outside of ourselves and seeking things to bring into our experience so that we feel better or so that we're happier or that we feel whatever it is that we feel we lack? So my journey, I had quite a bit of experience with not feeling good, doing things in the world, efforting in the world, running around in the world, creating in the world, manifesting in the world, money, cars, relationship, whatever, ego, 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 seeking, seeking, seeking. And every single thing that was brought to me or attracted to me, because remember, what you're seeking is also seeking you, which is going to be important here when we talk about this in a second. Everything I was seeking me, but it wasn't the thing that I was seeking that was seeking me. It was the seeker. What is seeking what it is that you're asking for? So when we come here to number one, getting clear, we want to really be clear about a few things so that we make sure that during the transformation process of you transforming into the person who would have or attract the things that you want without any fear of a limiting belief or a shadow aspect of you coming in to sabotage it, ruining what it is that you are looking to create. So I really want to set that and be as transparent and authentic with you as possible before we go forward, because it's the most important thing. There are other teachings that will just have you meditate, get into a high vibration, and then attract money, relationships, and, you know, cars and people and experiences. But if you're not someone who believes you're worthy of those things, they will go, they will vanish, they will disappear. It will go down in flames, because again, we get who we are being, we don't get what we want. So the first thing I would love for you to do is consider your intention. What is it that brought you here today? What is it that caused you to click on this or to listen to my content or anyone else's content that has to do with becoming a different or higher frequency version of yourself, or attracting something new into your life? Is it to cover up something that's happening now that you're not happy with? Is it because you're looking for some kind of an escape plan? Or is it something that is causing you to want to let go of certain things that you know are no longer serving you? You're asking for more from yourself, and you're trying to figure out what you need to let go of in order to actually shift or morph into that person. So I would love for you to kind of sit with your intention. What has brought you here? What is it that you are looking to move through or shift as a result of watching this course? The second thing I want to jump into here, equally as important as the intention you're setting now to move forward, realize that you are on an ever-flowing journey of constantly setting intentions, whether they are conscious or unconscious. So here is where we begin the process of making sure that we are not attaching to or holding on to anything that will prevent us from moving forward in this transformation process. Knowing what you don't want. This is because you have led a life where you have experienced certain degrees of contrast, meaning you have gone through or walked through or had experiences with many things that you don't like. And what happens is the egoic mind, who we believe we are at the time, attaches a sense of self or identity to these experiences that we didn't like. And we can get trapped in a victim story. We can get trapped in a story of judging ourselves for having gone through them, or judging other people for playing some kind of a role in the experience that we felt we were powerless against. So when you can really realize that there is a powerful perspective in shifting your mindset or shifting your frequency, if you will, to understanding that you wouldn't know what you do want if you didn't know for sure what it is that you don't want. If you can hold on to this or write this down, what that will do as we progress further in this masterclass is it will allow you to at least set the baseline where you can release some of that judgment, some of that attachment, and some of the responsibility to an outside source as far as them being able to have any power or control over you. Because this is the process. The process, this entire thing, is taking your power back from all of the external components that you ever gave your power to. Any person, any place, or anything that you ever gave power over you to make you feel a certain way, implying that you weren't the source of the feeling that we are looking for. And that's what we're looking to do. We are looking to align with being the source of the thing that when we point to it, it comes to us as a match. So who is asking? The next part of this intention setting, getting clear process. And again, we've already talked about two different aspects of a manifestation course or a manifestation teaching. And that's what I want to be the most clear on. I feel that there's something inherent in all of us. There is a highest or higher version consciously that can align with us physically in the world. And I don't believe it has anything to do with the story of you or your name or where you were born or where you grew up or even the situations that you've gone through in your life. I think it is something, I say higher not to mean better, but there is some kind of a higher conscious version of us that seems to be compelled to guide us towards what it is that we say we want. But then there's an ego that is a collection of limitations and labels and identification to things and power and separation outside of us. And when the ego asks for something, it's because it feels incomplete. So when the ego asks for something because it feels incomplete, we need to know that there is no amount of receiving anything that could ever calm that voice down. There is something behind why that voice exists, and that's what we're going to get into in the next phase here. But when we can really sit with and take a second to outline and reflect on who it is that is asking for what it is that we say we are here to. In the 21-day transformation and manifestation challenge that this is pulled right from, what most humans find is right around the end of the first phase, we start to uncover that the thing that brought us here, the thing that we initially asked for, isn't actually the thing that we want, that our intentions kind of shift as we more authentically align with who is asking and who being the heart and soul of who you actually are without any of these limitations or labels there to try to describe or define you or limit you in any way. So really, as you're sitting here and you're navigating the rest of this course, ask yourself who and be as honest as you can. Who is asking for what brought you here? This intention that we're trying to get clear on. Do you feel that it's an egoic, needy, lack-based seeking energy? Or do you feel like this is something that is aligned with your heart, your soul, your passion, and your purpose as defined by you? Because nobody else can define that for you. There is not some objective purpose that you should be seeking or searching for, but there is an internal, empowered, personal choice that you can make to live out the purpose that you define for yourself. And it's believing we're worthy of that and believing that that is what matters because we say it matters. That's how we actually really progress on this journey. It's shifting from someone else giving us power because they said what we should go after, or what we should pursue, to realizing that you are the source of your own purpose, your own passion, that you actually get to choose what it is that you want. And you can do this by asking who was asking for what it is that brought you here. So next, as you are getting clear and you're starting to go through this process, we really want to start diving into what it is that you really want. So what this is going to do, this part of this process, is going to allow us to understand that it is never the thing. So that would be the next thing I would ask you or suggest that you consider writing down. It is never the thing. So even if you are fully, absolutely sure, and you're like, Pat, I am so sure that this thing that I am asking for and the person who is asking for it is aligned with my heart, my soul. It is my dream. I absolutely love this. I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do with it. I am so aligned with this idea. I'm ready. I still want you to take power away from it being the thing, meaning if it's a new career, if it's a new job, if it's a new business, if it's a relationship, if it's more money for something, more money coming in, whatever it is that you are here to do or create, even if it's peace of mind, if it's clarity, whatever that thing is, take power away from it being the specific thing and realize that what we really want is the emotion. This is going to be important as we progress. What we really want is the emotion that we believe the thing has for us. If it's more money, it's not more money. Money is paper. Money in itself, without our belief in it and the purpose and meaning we give it, is useless. It is literal paper. It's the belief system and the structure and the identity around what we believe it can do that causes us to want more of it. So if we are focusing on the money, it's irrelevant. You want to focus on what you believe money will do for you. Does it make you feel powerful? Does it make you feel free? Does it make you feel expansive? Does it make you feel that you can give more? Does it make you feel more generous? Whatever it is, the emotion attached to the thing is what we want to release from the thing. We don't want to put the thing that we are asking for up on a pedestal, because obviously you could see that that means we are not in a vibrational alignment with it. If we're giving it power to say that it can make us feel a certain way, then we're missing the mark. We're missing the game. But this is how the majority of our lives were created, unconsciously walking around believing that things or people had power over us. This is a very vulnerable, volatile way to live. And also, it's not authentic to who you are and how powerful you truly are as far as this deliberate reality and life that you are here to create. So what we are here to do, again, this is a power shift and transformation. We're to take our power back. So whatever it is that you are here, as you get clear on what that might be, even if it is this best version of you that's asking for it, it is not the thing that you want. And this doesn't mean that we want the thing that you want to come to you, but realize that it's not the actual thing that you want. It's the emotion that you are giving the thing as far as having power over you. This is going to be important because we're going to use the actual emotion itself to be able to create a scene that you will ultimately be able to enter into, which will absolutely speed up, if you will, or create your reality, including this manifestation or this transformation that you are looking to create. And that leads me to the last part here, your 15-second scene. Once you get through all of this processing, you get through your intention setting, knowing what it is that you do want because of how powerfully you went through all of the experiences that you did not like or you did not want, Realizing who is asking for what you want. Is this authentic? Is this powerful? Is this heart? Is this soul? Is this higher self? Or is this needy? Is this ego? Is this not enough? Is this fear? Is this scared? Is it lack? Where is this coming from, this desire to receive more or whatever has brought you here today? What it is that you really want, staying focused on that and removing the power from the thing and understanding that it's because we lack an emotional connection vibrationally with ourselves that is causing us to believe the illusion or the lie that this thing will be able to give it to us, when we realize that we are the source of that emotional connection to ourselves. As we recreate the relationship to ourselves, that will put us in resonance with whatever we choose. And then we will get to choose what it is that we want based on our authentic higher self. So what I would love for you to do to close out the first phase here of getting clear, to the best you can, as you reflect on these things that we just went over, create a 15-second scene. Now, typically in the 21-day challenge or in the mentorships, I ask people to come up with what their perfect day is. Most people don't actually know what it is that they want. They don't know what the life they want to live is, because most of us haven't felt worthy enough to actually write that out and ask for it. We are too trapped and consumed by a limiting victim story that exists in the ether of the baseline vibration of humanity right now. But when you can venture outside of that and actually be clear enough and kind of excited enough to realize your own power to say, like, no, I absolutely deserve to figure out what my ideal day would look like from the second you get up until the second you go to bed. What is the best version of you? The most free, the most expansive, the most open, the most loving, the most powerful, with the most boundaries? What is that person doing in that day versus what you're doing in this day? They are two different humans, and one of them already exists in potential. This version we're trying to create exists in potential. This is not some illusion that we're trying to make. It exists in potential. It's the choices that we make and the belief systems that we release that will be required in order for us to line up with them. So what does that person do? And then create a 15-second scene, including your intention, whatever you came here for in this masterclass. Create a 15-second scene that will allow you to very quickly access the feeling of what it would be like to have the experience that you came here for. If you are realizing that what you actually are coming here for is clarity, which happens very, very often, do the exact same thing. Imagine yourself in a place, in a space where the idea comes to you. How do you feel? How do you respond when you get the next step? What does that look like for you in your day? So if it's not a physical thing that you're here to manifest, and this is more of a connection with yourself consciously or spiritually, if you will, for lack of a better label, then still that is a scene. Imagine that scene of what it is like to get that epiphanous realization that leads you to the next step, that gets you unstuck. Imagine that scene, and we're going to be replaying that over and over and over again, because it is this repetition that will break up all of the pathways that have been hardwired into our brain from our unconscious navigation through life before we wake up to who we truly are. All right, so now we are going to jump over to phase two, if you will. So again, in the 21-day manifestation challenge, there are three phases. It's over 21 days. The first 7 days has to do very much and very powerfully with getting clear in the process, in depth as to how to do that. But we're going to shift now to phase two, which is addressing the belief systems that are in place, which are personal to each person. They are subjective to each person based on your experience, what you've gone through, projections from other people, what you have allowed, what you have kept for yourself, anything that has represented anything that limits you in some way, that creates some kind of an insecurity, any kind of a trigger. Any time that you walked through the world and you felt as though you were not seen, that you were not wanted, that you were a burden, any vulnerable time, any time you weren't picked, any time you were bullied, any time someone said anything off-putting that really caused you to want to cringe, and this is the most important part, contract. A limiting belief system, which at one time was neutral until we accept it, and that's going to be important in a moment here as we talk about this, but a limiting belief system feels very, you're contracting, and this is how we can use our own inner GPS to determine whether or not we are moving towards what it is that we're asking for or away from what it is that we are asking for. So anytime you reference any kind of a limiting belief system, you will feel in your chest, in your body, cellularly, you will tighten. And this is evidence that you are not opening up and expanding to this higher, powerful version of you that we're looking to transform into. So a contracted energy could never attract a powerful, expansive experience. And that's where the trick is. That's why this part is so important, that we identify who's asking. Is it the contracted part that's scared and terrified and insecure, that's hoping this expansive, energetic thing will come to us and save us? Or do we transform into the person who is open and expansive, so that anything we pick and choose will attract to us naturally? So when you realize that it is a belief system that we're holding on to that is the culprit, if you will, and we start by saying there are two reasons that we don't have what it is that we want. And the first reason is, again, a limiting belief system. There's some kind of a block. There's something that you believe about yourself or the thing or the experience that is not in alignment, if you will. It's not lining up with what it is that you're saying you want. So I want, you know, more money. I want to be abundant, and I want to have so much of this and extra resources and all these opportunities. I want to have that. We can say one thing, but if internally we have a story unconsciously or just something we're not really ready to look at yet, that says that you're not valuable, that you're not good with money, that money is hard to come by, that, you know, it's people with money are terrible people. If you have a story wrapped around what the person with money is like, or how difficult it is to receive it, then it's contradicting anything you would say about how bad you want it. So again, if you're giving money or a person or this experience power to make you feel other than your belief systems would suggest, then you are living in conflict and it's running from you. So if it's running from you, that means you're chasing it. And if you're chasing it, that means that it is running from you. So you could just see that it's this constant battle of stopping the running, addressing the belief system that has you chasing these things, so that you can relax, find your center, find your power, and then see that all of these things that you choose will flow to you and come to you. But it's not because you want them. It's because the person who transforms through this process does not have the same limiting belief systems that you have right now. I am a different human in this moment than I was a decade ago. And you probably wouldn't literally even recognize me. And you definitely wouldn't recognize me by the conversations that I hold. My victim story was so powerful. And my excuses were so, so abrupt and abundant. I had an abundance of excuses in my victim story for why I couldn't do this, or this didn't happen, or this was tough, or that's bold. What, like, it was bad. And so the difference, the main difference between the two of us, my previous version that lived in suffering perpetually, and the version of me now that does its best every day to work through it and transform based on exactly what it is that we teach here, is the allowance of the belief systems that I choose to accept and acknowledge for myself. Now, neither one of them are objectively true in the world. It's the one that you choose that's true. It's not like we're trying to go from something that isn't true to something that is. Whatever you believe and give your energy and attention to is true for you. So all of my victim story and all of the reasons that I had it, 100% true. I wasn't lying to myself. I was very much true. These things happened. This was true. But your perspective can shift on how you view them going forward, because the other perspective exists as well. So the first part is that there is some kind of a block or a belief system that's preventing you. It's unconsciously contradicting what it is that you're asking for. And we're going to figure out how to address that quickly here in this masterclass. The second reason that you don't have what it is that you want is sometimes, even after we address the belief systems, and we start embodying, which is the third phase here, we start embodying the person who actually would think differently, act differently, and respond differently based on this shift in belief system. Sometimes we haven't been that person. We haven't embodied that person in the world, in this physical reality, for long enough to see the reflection of that person change in your world. So sometimes we believe, you know, once we do the work consciously and we create affirmations and we say them all the time and we start to even believe them, we believe that that's the work. But what I found, and I'm fortunate enough to get to do this work on myself and then also with humans all over the world, and I can tell you that there's no difference. It is inside of the human's journey to not just believe different things about how powerful they are, but to know them for themselves to the point of taking inspired action in the world. And it is the combination of all of those things and that inspired action that creates the shift, which will change your external experience going forward. So either a limiting belief system or you've overcome a limiting belief system, but we haven't taken action in the world long enough to shift or transmute the energy of this physical world, which is more dense than obviously our conscious experience, where images and beliefs and perspectives can change very, very quickly. But in the physical world, it may take a little bit longer for those perspectives and that momentum to catch up. So the next thing I want to touch on here is kind of like breaking apart the structure of a belief system. The law of hypnotic rhythm, it's something that was first defined in Napoleon Hill's book, Outwitting the Devil. I believe it's chapter 6, 7, where it's basically breaking down the idea that all thoughts in general, let alone belief systems, they begin as a neutral concept. So any thought, any idea, anything floating around in the ether, in these, you know, conscious frequency brain waves that we have access to, they begin initially as neutral. It does not become a belief system until we believe we have some external or internal evidence of this at one time neutral thought, and we charge it with an emotion. So if you raise your hand in school, you know, there's no evidence in the world that you are not an intelligent child who's on the up and up, and what do you want to be when you grow up, and everything is amazing. There's no evidence in the world of an inner belief system that says you are not worthy, or that you are not cool, or that you are not intelligent. No evidence. But one day in school, the teacher calls on you and asks for your answer to some problem on the board, and you shout out your answer with confidence, and you're incorrect. And that teacher is like, "No, I'm sorry, Pat, that's not it." And you're like, "Huh, that's," you start to question yourself. And then all of a sudden, the chatter begins from the kids and the pointing and the psst, psst, psst. Wow, like there's the first little kink in the armor. Like, I got that wrong. I don't like how this feels. I don't like how this feels. So a thought that says that you're stupid, you're dumb, you're no good at this, you blah, 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 whatever that is, those thoughts would have been neutral. You would not have attached your identity to them before this one experience. Maybe you can even let that experience go, but it's still there. It starts to begin to create the shadow, as Jung would say, the shadow aspect of you. But we walk through it, and we walk in the world a little bit different. We try to hold our head up high. It has not fully affected us yet. And then now we're on the playground, or we're doing something at home, or your sibling says something random. Again, random. Your sibling has no idea what happened to you in school today. They have no idea what's going on. And all of a sudden, just for fun and a tease, they joke out, and they're like, "You're so stupid. You blah, 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 blah." Now you have two. And it starts to build, and we don't understand how often this happens, till all of a sudden this at one time neutral thought of you're not smart, you're not intelligent, you're no good at this, you can't do this, why do you even talk, no one likes you, all those things were at one time neutral, but through these experiences we attach our sense of identity to them, and we've charged them with such an emotion of lack and insecurity and fear and not okay and not safe and not enough, that anytime it is said in the world, now it's not neutral anymore. Now it's ours. Now we own it. Now it's part of our character's identity. And now we don't want it to be. So we push it down into the shadow, which is the part that we don't want anyone to see. And we try to walk out in the world like it doesn't exist, but it does exist. And it begins to create a lot of the chaos that we exist in our life. And it is the foundation of the egoic who is asking that I am here to address in what I teach and how our mentorship works here. It is knowing that there is a person that wasn't picked, that was abandoned, that was left. And we don't want to spend any more time than we need to addressing that until we start to uncover that you only need to spend as much time there as you need to find the perspective, and then we need to move on. But to allow it to continue to ask for things to fill the void so that it feels picked and loved and secure, that's the wrong road to get what it is that we actually want, which is the authentic reflection of who we are in the world. So once it becomes charged with a belief system, the belief system becomes charged emotionally and you start to own it, your brain, very physical in nature, this computer that we have, has something called the RAS. It's the Reticular Activating System. This is a real thing, and you have examples of it all of the time in your life. What it does is it goes out of its way to bring to your attention that which you choose to tell yourself you want brought to your attention. It is literally designed to bring to you what it is that you say. This is going to be really important, because if you knew how often you said things that don't serve you, you would question less all of the unwanted that you've been shown in your life. So we've all heard of the punch buggy game. And if you haven't, I'll explain it. So the punch buggy game is where the Volkswagen Beetle that they used to make back in the day, there was a game where if you saw one of those punch buggies, they'd call them, or Volkswagen Beetles, in whatever color it was, you would punch your friend and say, punch buggy blue, punch buggy red. And it would be this game that was played a while ago. I don't even know if it's still played. You can also use the same example if you've ever bought a new car, if you know anybody who's bought a new car. All of a sudden, that car shows up everywhere. With the punch buggy game, all of a sudden, there's punch buggies everywhere. If we were driving from here to wherever, you know, wherever else in the world on a 1,000-mile trip, and we didn't say we were going to play this punch buggy game, we would see no punch buggies. But on the way back, if I was like, hey, you want to play the punch buggy game? And you were like, let's do it. Do you know how many we see? We see all of them. We see every punch buggy everywhere from all over the place, behind the car, behind that door, behind that truck. There's a fender. I know it. Punch buggy. How did that happen? These punch buggies magically appear. Maybe. But no, they were there the whole time. We just told ourselves, our brain, that we wanted to look for them, and it is impartial. It goes out of its way to bring to your attention that which you tell it, just like the punch buggy game, just like a new car. So now imagine you have a story that says you are not worthy. Imagine a story that money is hard to come by, that you can never get ahead, that you're waiting for the next shoe to drop, that this person is blah, 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 and I wish they wouldn't do. Imagine that's the story that you're telling your brain to look for. Now it goes out of its way to bring all of those examples to your attention and show you what it is that you have said you want to see. But since we aren't taking responsibility for saying that we want to see those things, because we think that complaining about those things suggests that we want to see the opposite of them. I'm complaining that I have no money. I'm complaining that I have no relationship. I'm complaining that no one loves me. I'm complaining that I have nothing to do. I'm complaining about all of these things. Doesn't that mean, don't you get that I want the opposite of that? But that's not how this works. And that's why so many human beings in the unconscious realm get it, not wrong, but they don't get the results that they want. So when you realize that you're telling a story and the story matters because you are charging it with your personal identity and emotionally attaching to triggers that, of course, they're showing up in your world. So it perpetuates a loop of you saying you don't want to see things, your brain not caring that you don't want to, because the universe doesn't hear no. It just says, okay, so insignificant, lonely, sad, and broke. That's what you keep saying. So I'm going to keep bringing that to your attention. And then there it is. You see it. And just like the law of hypnotic rhythm, when you have enough momentum and evidence in the world of your story, it will be confirmed to you. Your personal subjective story will be confirmed to you in the world. But since we aren't willing to dive into the belief systems yet and take full, honest responsibility for the fact that we put them there, we would never take full responsibility for the projection being our fault. So when I had this story about how terrible life was and how terrible people were to me, and I didn't realize that I was telling a story that said that I wasn't valuable and that people could treat me like garbage and that I wasn't worth anything and that blah, 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 blah. I wasn't taking credit. I was in the world. I was perfect. I was put out this illusion that I was amazing. But my real story, my shadow story, was exactly what I was getting in the world. So it wasn't until I began to start breaking free from the responsibility that I was giving the world to make me feel a certain way and realize that I was responsible for the way the world was showing me what I actually felt. And thus begins the internal journey and the inner inquiry that's necessary through honesty to break apart these limiting beliefs. So these two here, the shadow is developed over time, and it represents all of the parts of us that we don't want other people to see. And we are so good at it that we don't even admit that we've created it. So when it shows up in the world as a reflection of who we are being and what we believe, we think the world is happening to us. But in essence, because this is not your true nature, the world, which is you, as a reflection of you, is trying to show you where you're not in alignment with who you truly are. But again, if you're not willing to take responsibility for the world doing that, you won't see that it's you doing it to you to wake you up to how powerful you are. You'll look at it as the world keeping you down, and that's evidence of my beliefs, and that's why I have these beliefs. It is a tricky, tricky game, but it's the game we're in, and it's the game that you can win at. But it requires honesty. It requires you diving into the shadow. It requires the ability to shift a perspective and open your mind up and start to expand through some things that may really have hurt you in the past and some people that you don't want to let off the hook, even if it means you feeling better. Because sometimes we get attached to our suffering and it's like an emotional connection, even if it's not a good one. So it can be very difficult to break these processes. But again, inside of the mentorship and the 21-day challenge, it's required almost. I hate that word, but it's necessary to move to the next point. And sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes you can just listen to exactly what we're saying and be like, I get it, and move on. But each person's journey is their own. It's subjective, and it really depends on how attached you are to all of the knowing what you don't want experiences that created the shadow in the first place. Now, here's where it can get fun, even inside of the belief system structure. The new you emerges from knowing what we don't want and understanding the belief systems that put that there or we accepted. We can start to, again, expand, open our minds up and say, okay, I understand how this contrast game works. I wouldn't know what I do want or even have the potential to understand what that is if I didn't know all of what I didn't want. That's fair. I mean, that's literally like true. I wouldn't be able to have a perspective. There's no gap. There's no separation. But each thing is one thing at two extremes. So there's the wanted and unwanted. So what you're giving your attention and energy to expands. So that means that we don't want what we've been focusing on to expand anymore. So we are going to start to focus on what the new you would look like. We're going to start to look at all of the old belief systems. I have no this, I can't do this, I wish this would happen. And then shift that to what would the belief system of your highest version be? What would the belief system of the best version of you be who has everything that you are here to receive? Spend some time and really address what the belief system of the person who has the thing that you have would have to be in order to receive it or keep it. And then start to see where it's in conflict with where your belief system actually is. Again, this requires some intense honesty, and it requires some energy in a place where you might not have been able to put that energy before. And that is in your best interest without an excuse or a victim story. Can you just simply put down and say, okay, this is all the stuff that did not go the way that I wanted it to. That means that I want it to go this way, and this way. What would I have to believe in order to maintain that? If I had a belief system that people who love me leave me, or if that people treat me poorly, I have to address the boundaries that I have and the relationship that I have within myself to be able to release anyone from being responsible for how I feel as to whether or how I respond to their behavior. And that would be my process. I would have to sit down and write down all of the things that the person who does not hold anyone accountable for their actions, what would that person's belief system be? How would that person live and interact with themselves? How do I feel about me to be able to let you do whatever it is that you need to do? And it does not, it can't affect me as far as my value and my worth. It doesn't mean you don't suffer through experiences, trust me. But what it means is that the integrity and the relationship that you hold within yourself, without money, without the perfect person, without the vacation, without the car, the relationship you have to yourself without those things is what forms the bond to you that actually increases your vibration enough in the world to receive them without risk of losing them. So what is the belief system of the person who has what it is that you came here asking for? And of course, in the same exact line, we could just close this out here on phase two. What story do you tell? If you are using this contrasting agent to understand your old story and to dive into the shadow and to really sit down and journal and uncover the limiting belief systems that are blocking you and preventing you from moving forward or taking action or getting outside of your comfort zone or embodying the person that you want to be, that has and does what you want to do and have, what does the new story of you tell? Now, here I want to kind of put an asterisk here because this is really important. This is the part where you might feel, as you do this exercise, the imposter syndrome setting in. Keep in mind, the ego is who you have thought you were for your entire life until basically now, this phase of your life where you are awakening to who you truly are. Even if you're not really sure of the relationship yet, you are fully aware that you are not this limited character. You're looking to transform that limited character. And you're looking to use this higher calling, if you will, this higher self consciously in the world to be able to do that. So realizing that there is a different story that the version of you that you want to be tells, when you start to write out or map out what that story might be, much of it is going to be in stark contrast to a lot of the victim story that you've been telling maybe, or a lot of the limiting belief systems that you have been holding on to for a while. But since you thought those belief systems and that story was you, and you had so much evidence in the world of it, which we now know is just you giving yourself evidence to show you where you were off, but still to the egoic character, it's like, look, this is why I am this way. So when you start to shift out of that and move into your power and write out a new story that says, I am this now, I do this now, I speak this way, I don't allow this now, I walk in the world a different way. Since it's not who you believe you are and you have no new evidence of that in your world yet reflected back because there's not enough momentum yet, you may feel like you're lying to yourself. You will, in most cases, feel like you're lying to yourself. And that's why one of the things that I teach is, as far as how affirmations work, sometimes to just go right from a limiting belief system to this positive belief system that you don't believe yet or don't have evidence of yet, it could actually be counterproductive energetically. It could actually upset you. It could restrict you and contract you instead of opening up, because most of the time we don't believe or have evidence of the new affirmation yet. That's why we're saying it. So there's no gratitude yet. There's no evidence yet. And when you don't have that in place authentically inside, then any attempt to try to say these things feels like a lie. So imposter syndrome is big. So what I would ask you to do I still want you to write out what the new story of you is, because it's going to be really important. You're already going to have your 15 second scene, your best day. What do you do? How do you show up? What do you say? Because again, it's not just about creating the scene. This is what you'll see. It's not just about creating the scene that you want to walk through. Remember, the reason the scene isn't a reality for us yet is because we're not the person who's ready to be in that scene. So we set the scene and then we go through the process to become the person who will effortlessly merge with that scene. That person in that scene, in your perfect day, or in the day where you have what brought you here today, the you in that scene tells a story. And we want to spend some time outlining what that is and realizing that it might feel uncomfortable. It might feel like we're lying to ourselves because, again, you thought you were another person. You thought you were this thing. And we have to get outside of our mind and our mind's concept of who we are to get into this space where the new version can begin to be wired in. So what does that story look like? What do you say in the best version of you and the life that you live? What is that scene? All right, so here we are. We are about to close this out. We're going to jump right in to phase three, and that is the embodiment phase. And if I'm going to be honest with myself, this is my favorite scene because I feel like this is where the majority of the results, if you will, come. This is where it starts to really work. And I feel like, again, to authentically get to this place and have it work, we do have to go through this process. Getting clear allows us to uncover the belief systems that are preventing us from getting the thing that we want. If we're not clear, then we're just kind of getting random things thrown at us and we feel like life is this chaotic, you know, mysterious, purposeless thing. And we start to realize, like, well, it's not. I give it purpose. So therefore, I have to be clear on what my purpose is first in order for me to be able to see any purpose in the world. I have to be clear on what it is that I want. I can't keep complaining about not having what I want if I'm absolutely unsure of what that is. beyond some surface level example of what I think I should say when someone says, what do you want? I want to be happy. I want more money. I want, like, nope. What do you want? What does your day look like? Who is that person? So getting clear will be the first thing that is the most important thing to be able to figure out what belief systems are preventing you from getting the thing that you are now clear on. If you're not clear, then the belief systems don't even matter except for some, you know, baseline energy that you'll hold in your life. So it's not until you get clear about, I want this. Well, then what do you believe? Why don't you have it yet? Oh, I guess I believe this and this and this. Well, that's what we have to do in phase two, is clear that up. And then next it is, if you didn't have that belief system, not just what would you say, but as a result of all of this working out and seamlessly aligning in this process, what would you do? What is the person in that scene who believes what you now believe in this positive way about yourself and reality and the story that you tell? What does that person do? And this is where it's going to be interesting, because sometimes we have a hard time articulating what that is because we don't even know. We're not fully sure on so many things. There's so many things up in the air. So what does that mean? And what I found that it means is, what are the little things that you do or can do or will do every single day to start to build the relationship with yourself that will ultimately manifest this highest version of you? What are some things that you could do to build trust with yourself today? Do you set boundaries with people, or do you people please and let them take advantage of you? Do you get up in the morning and have even the most simple of routines to set you up for success consciously and physically in your day? Is there something that you do? What is the relationship with the people in your lives? Do you have space for them? Are you able to have space for them without breaking a boundary? What are the things that you could do easily every single day to help transform and reestablish what the new you would do? And we call this not acting as if, even though it's going to feel that way, but we really want to be as if, because again, you don't get what you want. You get who you are being. So when you can wake up every day and say, who do I want to be today? Who am I today? And then not let your old story redefine or define that answer, then you get to redefine it for yourself. And I found that as you enter this phase of the process, you can really start to be clear in the morning and in the evening. You know, who do I want to show up as today? Who am I today? What will I do? I will do only what I can follow up on and commit to and complete today. I am not going to make promises and break them. I'm not going to say something to someone to suggest that I'm going to do something that I'm not going to do. I'm not going to say that I'm going to save money and then go blow it. If it doesn't align with your image or vision of what it is that you want, then the you that has what you want wouldn't do that thing that's counterproductive to what you want. So being as if, and this next phase right here, which, and I say this, if you listen to the podcast, and again, in all of the challenges, the thing that absolutely, I've always thought that different parts of these things throughout my journey, that changed my life. And they all did. They absolutely all did. But being 2 feet in and understanding what that means has changed my life. It is the thing that has made the most difference. And it is the thing that has allowed me the most clarity on the depths of blocks that I had regarding showing up and committing to things that I knew would serve me, or to being the person that I said I always wanted to be, or standing up in a certain way for myself. I ultimately realized that I always had 1 foot out. I always had 1 foot out the door, but I was consciously saying how committed I was to this venture, or committed I was to this business, or how committed I was to this relationship. And now, because morally, I believe I absolutely was. But the part of me that didn't want to believe that something could work out, the part of me that didn't want to or didn't feel powerful or trustworthy with myself, I would give too much power to another person to make me feel good when I didn't. And because of that, I would realize that power gap.
And I would be terrified of it. And it would represent all of the old traumatic events in my life where people left me and I was absolutely beside myself, or you know, dad makes a promise and breaks it, or so-and-so does such and such, and you just feel left and abandoned and out of control. And we all have some version of that in one way or another in our story. And because of that and the fear of that powerlessness, I would always have a foot out. But I would say that I was 2 feet in, because morally I was doing what I thought was correct, if you will. It wasn't until I started to understand that fear and my relationship to that fear, which is contradictory to all of this, which is simply saying that you are way more powerful than you understand, and you're more powerful than you have ever given yourself credit for, and you are way more powerful than the limiting victim story has convinced you are. And it's time to break free from that. And it's time to transform into the person that has, or manifests, if you will, deliberately creates all of the things that you want in your life once you feel that you're worthy of them. And when you can stand both feet in to who you truly are and know that your power does come from within, and that you are the source emotionally of everything that you think you have ever lacked, and that if you can build a relationship with yourself in this way that we're talking about today, you will start to see that these things will have less power over you, and you'll be able to communicate with them in a way that allows you to take your power as the source and power them in your life, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a business, whether it's a vacation, and any experience, a physical thing. When you realize that you are the powerful source that powers the thing you want, then you take your power back from the old paradigm of reality, which says that these things have power over me, and because of my powerlessness, I would like to have more of them in my life. That's what we're breaking out of today. And that's what being 2 feet in has taught me. And that is what it has led me towards in my life, in my teachings, in my work, every aspect of anything that's been beneficial. Standing 2 feet in the face of all that has scared me, has allowed me to dive into that fear and realize at the bottom of it was some story that manifested that fear in my life. I attached to it. I let it become part of my story. And then it perpetually showed itself back to me in my reality, which I complained about, which continued to show more of it because I was complaining. And then you break free and you wake up and you lift the veil and you start to realize what is happening. You start to realize who you truly are, and you start to break apart that story because you're standing 2 feet in to who you truly are. And you couldn't do that unless you were willing to face the fear that's been created from your entire experience growing up. The last part here, I'm going to combine these two: releasing control and trusting. It was something that I had a challenge with, and I still at times have a challenge with it, because there's a part of us and the story. Remember, you're dealing with a limited mind that only knows what has been put into it, or what it has seen, what's been projected onto it, what it has learned, if you will, the computer of your mind. And because it's finite, it doesn't understand infinite. It can't understand infinite. And because it can't understand infinite and forever, and it can't understand even something like death, it's terrified of everything, and its job has been to keep you safe. And if you're here listening to this, it's done, I would imagine, a decent job of that. But we have to realize that there's something else happening here. And if you can accept this, this could be life-changing in itself. When you realize that, again, as we mentioned in the beginning of this class, there's something going on here beyond what our mind can possibly comprehend or conceive. And that scares it. So it tries to control everything. It needs to know how things are going to happen. It wants to have a plan. And I'll never tell you not to have a plan. But if the plan doesn't have some part of it that it allows an outside influence to influence the plan, and then for you to trust your inner GPS that says this is the way now, then you will potentially could be self-sabotaged by the plan that your mind tries to create, because it could never know what amazing ways these things that you're asking for could come to you. And if it tries to predict them, it'll look for evidence of that prediction in the world. And if it doesn't see evidence of that prediction in the world, then it'll start to press upon your limiting belief systems about how you're not that powerful and it doesn't work that way. And see, shouldn't this be happening? What about this? And it's a trap, it's a loop, and it's a trick. So if you can realize that you're going to set intentions, the work is not from you to the thing. Again, your work is not from you to the thing that you came here for. The work is from you releasing the thing, working on the relationship to you, involving any blocks you have to the thing, and then to watch the thing flow to you as a result of you shifting those patterns, beliefs, and the vibrational resonance within yourself. You are not trying to fix anything between you and a person. You're not trying to fix anything between you and the money. You're not trying to fix anything between you and this experience. It is from you to you, which is great and also terrifying. So now, the releasing control of trust part. Just as we said in the beginning, how what you believe is shown back to you because this universe is you. Now, this is something maybe down the rabbit hole for some of you if you are new to my content, but most of you, I think you're going to understand. The universe is a reflection of you. Again, your subjective story is shown back to you, just like the punch buggy game, just like buying a new car. What you believe to be true, I will never argue with you. If you believe it, I would agree with you that it's true for you, and you will have evidence of it in your world. The world that we talk about here, your universe, your reality, your life, is showing you evidence of what you're believing. There's something else happening here. There is a greater, higher something version of you. It's basically all you. So if you can release control and know that you have your best interest from the highest levels of consciousness that there are to right here where you are, that there is something else that is zoomed out further than you are, and it's you. And it wants you to have everything you want because it's you, but it wants it to be from a place that doesn't continue to hurt you. If you can release control as to how these things come to you and just trust and walk around knowing that this is the process, if you can trust and believe that for yourself, what my promise is to you, not from me to you, but from you to you, is that you will see it. It will show up in wild and amazing ways that will blow your minds and continue to believe a little bit more every time you see something. If you're looking for something in the world, you're not going to see it. You're not going to see it, as far as it being a confirmation of some new belief system that you don't believe yet. You're going to keep seeing confirmation of the old belief system. You're trying to bring in a new belief system, but you don't believe it yet. So if you look for that specific thing, it's going to show you the old belief system and you're going to keep doubting. That's what control and fear does. But if you're like, okay, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know it when I see it and I trust that I'm going to get it. It doesn't have to be today. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. I'm in no rush. The universe is not in a rush. Your ego is. So trust and believe that if you do this work and you can start to embody the person who does these things, again, the person who has what you want is not in a rush to get it. I don't know if I could say it any more plainly than that. The person who has what it is that you want, this version of you, it's already done. That person, you, already has it in potential. You have to walk through it. The only reason you don't have it is because you haven't been walking as the person who would have it for long enough to receive it. So the person who has it that we are looking to transform into is not in a rush to get it. The person who doesn't have it and believes that it has some power over them wants it and needs it right now. And that energy will keep pushing it away. So you want to really do your best to embody who has what it is that you want, how that person shows up, what your day looks like, and then let it go. And by let it go, because most people don't actually talk about what that would even mean, letting go of something, for this cliche term, means don't give it any more of your attention. Don't give the negative belief system regarding it any more of your attention. Don't give the need to have it and see it all the time for it to be true or for you to think it's working. Don't let that be something you give your attention to. Try to find joy in your moment. Try to find gratitude in your moment for what you have already. And if you can do that, again, it is my promise from you to you that you will see it, and you will see it in amazing, amazing ways.
So I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to download and watch this free Transformation and Manifestation Masterclass. It really is designed for you to be able to take all of the pieces and phases of it and integrate it in your life immediately today. But if you are someone who thrives on accountability and structure and wants a guided step-by-step process,
to practice these ideas and these concepts in your life, then the 21-Day Transformation and Manifestation Challenge is for you. Down below, you will find a link where you can learn a little bit more about this. And if it resonates, start the challenge today.